Dottie, June, George, Chris. What makes you smile about them this morning? Our saints, Donnelly, Eric, Howard, Marie. What do you remember and cherish? Gerald, Julia, Penny, Louise. In an address directed at Divinity School students, Ralph Waldo Emerson remarked, "I once heard a preacher who tempted me to say I would go to church no more." He continued, "A snowstorm was falling around us that day, and the snowstorm was real, but the preacher was merely spectral. And my eye felt the sad contrast in looking at him, and then out of the window behind him into the beautiful meteor of the snow." The problem was nothing that Emerson heard that morning from the pulpit suggested that the preacher was a flesh and blood human being, someone more or less like everybody else, humble and scruffy enough to relate to and trust, someone with the same dark secrets and the same high hopes that you and I have, the same doubts and passions as the rest of us, the same weaknesses and the same strengths. The preacher said not one word intimating that he had laughed or wept, was married or in love, had been commended or cheated or chagrined. If he had ever lived and acted, we were none the wiser for it. Surely this man had plowed and planted and talked and bought and sold, read books, eaten and drunk, smiled and suffered, yet there was not a hint in all the sermon that he had ever lived at all. The capital secret of his profession, to convert life into truth, he had not learned. Normie, Midge, Lara, Rich. How did they teach you, these everyday saints? What made them real? Here's the point. Emerson's preacher undoubtedly spoke about God or heaven and dealt with matters like sin and salvation. But he didn't talk about the glad and liberating moments of his own life or anyone else's, and he never alluded to the lost, wretched struggles that ground all of us when we're scared or feeling like we don't know which end is up, like now. Maybe he was shy. Maybe he was anxious about exposing his shortcomings or vulnerabilities. Probably he cared more about being an expert than about being helpful, about being on a pedestal of some sort. It is so much more delicious to be right than good, you know? But being right isn't the point. Winning an argument is not the secret to human thriving. Jesus offers another way. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. No mention of experts, just everyday saints like Shiny, Jean, John, Darlene. What were their struggles, and how did they rise above them? And how do they help you become who you were born to be? The last time Sarah Benson encountered college mathematics, she was a 20-year-old co-ed in an undergraduate algebra class. Her only experience teaching math came when she was in the second grade, when the first graders next door needed help with their minuses. And yet, Miss Benson, whose degrees are in art history and comparative literature, stands at a chalkboard every week in Annapolis, drawing parallelograms and constructing angles and otherwise dismembering Euclid's geometry the way a biology professor might treat a water frog. Her students at St. John's College don't seem to care about her inexperience. Her employers don't mind either. In fact, they asked her to teach geometry precisely because it was a subject about which she knew very little. We're model learners rather than arbiters of right and wrong, Miss Benson explained. I try to share with the students what I'm struggling with and how, so that they won't be shy about making their own struggles public. It was just another day at St. John's College, a school which requires its professors to teach almost every subject. There are 16 courses in the undergraduate curriculum, and a veteran tutor who's been there 30 years has taught 15 of them, everything but music. Ms. Benson says, I feel like a bit of an imposter, but here it's okay that I don't know something. I'm just an everyday saint. If I can figure it out, I can help my students do the same thing. Imagine such humility in a leader and its impact on a community. The president of the college agreed, smiling impishly. Sarah, the young teacher, she'll be fine. Every member of the faculty who comes here gets thrown into the deep end, and they have to present a topic with a beginner's mind. Thinking you know everything is usually an impediment, you know? Instead, think of Walter, Richard, Elva, Vermel, Theodore, and the example they set. The curriculum at St. John's embraces humility from the top down. Even the president of the college teaches first years. Every faculty member is invited to be an alien, an outsider to her subject material. A veteran tutor observed, you have to give up trying to control things if you're going to make it here. You have to give up thinking that whatever is learned comes from you. It can make you feel wretched, he said, but that beginner's mind seems to be what helps our students discover their particular gifts and come alive. Imagine a system that's set up to put the people that it is meant to serve in the middle, at the top, instead of putting the expert in the center. And that's the point, isn't it, of the Jesus way? God's glory in a human being fully alive, to have life and have it more abundantly, to share each other's burdens and lift each other up, instead of pulling the power to yourself or to a privileged few. What the tutor at St. John's literally does is take himself off the pedestal so that his students might be placed there, relegating himself to the margins so that their learning rather than his expertise might be central. It's a courageous humbling and the best kind of teaching or lawyering or doctoring or nursing or banking or counseling or leading of any kind. Becoming a saint is about surrender. Have you ever thought about how the last will be first is ever going to be a present reality if those with place and pride don't confront it and start to give it up? Jesus never praised climbing the ladder of success. In fact, he warned against it. Don't take the best seat at dinner. Don't lay up your treasures on earth. Don't curry favor with those in power. Instead, Jesus focused our eyes on people from whom we usually look away. The lost, the lonely, the lame, and the left behind. Like Tom, Marilyn, Robert, Cynthia. Blessed are you, he said, when you're poor in spirit, when you're laid low by mourning, when you're meek and unheard, when you long for justice with all your heart, when you're merciful, when your heart is pure enough to see good in every person, when you help make peace. We don't find the light of God in our lives apart from our suffering, he taught us, and saints don't direct us to easy, comfortable ways. The ones I know show us how to keep going in deep darkness, how to survive the bullies, how to have hope in the mean times. Like Kitty, Letitia, Warrington, Jean. Here's a thought. What if you took this picture of courageous humility into whatever argument you might find yourself in this week? I imagine you're going to find yourself in some arguments this week. I'm thinking of the conversations ahead that are hot and bothersome to you. And what if we go into them not as an expert or to make a point, but rather to engage the humanity of our so-called opponents? What if we're like Parsifal, who realizes that the king is not well when he encounters destructiveness and death in the land, and so the young knight calls forth the leader's healing by meeting him on the common ground of loss and pain? We've had 7 months of deep darkness, schools closed, economies stuttering, loved ones lost or locked away from us. And thank goodness for the everyday saints who show up in mass on our doorsteps or show up outside a window or stand strong even if just beyond our fingertips. Thank goodness for the everyday saints who staff the hospitals and grocery stores and teach our children through flickering screens. Thank goodness for the everyday saints on podcasts and webinars and YouTube and Zoom, for journalists and scientists and community leaders and doctors and parents and aunts and uncles and friends, and for all those who call us to the common good, till we begin our civic fabric of strength and struggle, of opportunities and setbacks, of loss and learning, and the capacity to love. This year, more than any I remember, the Feast of All Saints gathers all the bits and broken pieces of our lives, brings together every name spoken and sorrow shared and plan postponed, and draws us into the paradoxical gift of this healing dawn. However short our span may be, life is eternal and love is immortal, and a horizon is only the limit of our sight. Whatever the dark night has wrought, the sun also rises, and there is more life and more love ahead for us. Even when we're ready to give up, God is building tomorrow in your heart and mine. Amen.